Avodah Zarah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Base 4:2. The Mishnah continues to discuss finding things around the Markulis idol, but that's not the point of the Mishnah at all. The point of the Mishnah is to discuss the status of things that are used to decorate an idol for noi, decoration, which is considered to be like a mishamesh, an accessory to the idol, and it's forbidden to get hana from that, and also things that are to krovas, things that are offerings to the idol. And again, if it's an offering that meets the criteria of the Mishnah, it'll be us to get hana from these things. Now, the way that it frames those principles is saying, what if you find stuff by or on the idol? And the idol in question here is a Merkulis idol, but actually not like the idol you sort of imagined from the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah kind of discusses the Merkulis as like a pile of rocks, which is how it was far back in history, let's call it in the times of Tanakh, I don't know. But as things progressed, they became more sophisticated, and they would, quote-unquote sophisticated, and they would portray this Merkulis idol to Mercury, not as a pile of stones, but like one single kind of rectangular column with a head on top. I mean, they would still put stones behind it, but beside it perhaps, but this Merkulis became much more involved. It's, in English, they're called a Herm, H-E-R-M, like from Hermes, the Greek version of this idol, Mercury, Merkulis. In any case, so you have this sort of like this rectangular pillar that has a carved head on top of it, and that is the Merkulis that the Mishnah here is imagining. So it says, Matzah Barosha Maos. What if you find atop the Merkulis idol money and or ksus or clothing, or kalim or other kinds of utensils, like a bucket or something? So the Mishnah says, Hare Elu Mutarim, they're permitted for benefit. The idea here is that these things are put in such a way that they're not there to decorate or kind of glorify or improve whatever it is, certainly not to serve the idol. Rather, they're just have been left behind, almost like it's like showing some disregard for it, because you're just like putting some folded clothes on its head as if like, you know, it's just a stand and not an idol of anything significance. The money here in the Mishnah says, is money that's sort of like in a satchel and around its neck, which is sort of, I guess, like kind of a bit of a mockery for some reason, and sort of like kind of like graffiti, if you will. And the kalim, it's like a bucket. Let's say the bucket's turned over and like on top of the idol's head or whatever, so it's like not, again, not for noi, not for decoration. That's when it would be permitted. If the decoration were something that was actually to sort of adorn the idol, it was like a crown on its head, you know, a necklace around its neck, then of course that would be usser as a mishamish and usser bahana. Now, as far as offerings go, so it says, parkilei anavim, if you have clusters of grapes, v'ataras shel shibolim, or you have like wreaths of grain, you know, think of like what they put like on the ancient Greek Olympics, like the wreath on the head of the victor, that kind of thing, like a wreath of grain. Vayenos or shamanum, vasalasos, or you have wine or oils or fine flowers, kind of in jars, that's there by the idol. V'chol davar k'shekayotze bo karev al gabe hamizbeach, or anything like that, which is how we bring offerings to Hashem. So then asr, those things are considered to be offerings, and they're asr bahana. So here the Mishnah is identifying things that are very specific, because they're the kinds of things that we offer to Hashem on our Mizbeach, essentially. So we're talking about things that offer me bikurim, perhaps, or, you know, you have flowers used in menachos, and wine is poured on top of it, and so on. Oil is poured on top of it, and wine is poured as a libation, you know, as in the Nesachim. So those things are all usser, and so similarly things like logs of wood or even salt would be forbidden because like brought to Hashem. So really, in terms of what constitutes a forbidden offering to an idol, there are actually two different like criteria. Either A, it's the kind of thing we bring to Hashem, like our mission identifies specifically, or B, it's brought in a way like we bring it to Hashem, okay? So the Gemara gives an example of even if you like take a branch and break it for the idol. So that's like analogous kind of to like shechting an animal. So things that are shechted or that are, whatever the verb is for libated, poured, or things that are, incense, like haktara, they're offered by burning. These things, all these kind of things would be forbidden as an offering, even if they're not the kinds of things, types of things we bring to Hashem and Arm Mizbeach, but they're brought in that kind of way. Okay, so either of those two kind of categories would become forbidden. Now, a big difference, as we'll see more about in the next Mishnayos, we talk about bittul, like deconsecration. So just understand that it's possible to deconsecrate, decommission some mishamish, some noi, some decorative elements for an idol. So the necklace around the idol is forbidden. But if you would break the necklace or break the idol, the necklace becomes permitted. In contrast, the tikrovas, the offerings that are brought to the idol, even if you decommission, you mevatel the idol, so the offering that's brought to it remains forbidden forever.